Good morning. The Lord be with you. We welcome all of you into God's house today. We wish a blessed Christmas to all of you. We pray that our worship today would bless your hearts and your minds. I want to give a thank you to the choir members and the trombonists and the musicians and also the folks who take care of this beautiful sanctuary for making this a beautiful place to worship God today. We begin with our first hymn. Please rise. Our liturgy begins on page 219 today. O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Lord, come, let us worship Him. Lord, Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places are in his hands. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As he was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
His right hand and his holy arm have ever salvation for
him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Bring forth unto joyous songs and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre.
With the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and the sound of the horn.
Make a joyful noise before the King of all the world.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it.
The world and those who dwell in it.
Let the rivers clap their hands. Before the Lord.
For he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world with righteousness.
And in the peoples with iniquity.
You may be seated.
Thank you. First reading is in Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A second reading is in Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he became the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We continue with the responsory on page 221.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts, all three texts read already, form the basis of our sermon today. We read again these words. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is God's word. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ, three Wednesdays ago, we focused on the first candle of the Advent wreath, the candle of hope. 2 weeks ago, the candle of peace. 1 week ago, the candle of joy. Last night, the candle of love. And this morning, the big kahuna, the Christ candle, the big white candle, the Christ candle. I want to tell you about a story about my high school principal. His name was Mr. Welder, and he was a short, stocky, intimidating kind of a guy. Actually, his name was Valentino Welder III. The rumor was that he had been a boxer in his military days. He had a little short mustache on him. He was the kind of a man you did not want to mess with, and he had a habit of talking out of the side of his mouth. And so one day, when a couple of my friends got the giggles in his study hall, well, that didn't go very well. My friend Brian was doing an imitation of Mr. Welder, and then we got the giggles, and so he drew near, and out of the side of his mouth, he asked a simple question. Mulbert, Mindeman, Griffin, what's your problem? I don't think we said anything, but I do know that we stopped giggling for a time. What's your problem? That's the question I invite you to ask on this Christmas Day morning. What is your problem? As we approach the three appointed texts from the prophet Isaiah, the letter to the Hebrews, and the Gospel of John, I would suggest that we get three answers to the question, what's our problem? The first problem we will address today is inattentiveness to Christ. The second problem is that we often don't listen well to Christ. And the third problem, the most dangerous problem of all, the problem of not believing in Christ. Three invitations the Holy Spirit will deliver from the pulpit today. The invitation to see Christ clearly, to listen well to Christ, and to believe Christ. Invitation number one on this day of Christmas is to see Christ clearly. And we address the problem of inattentiveness. I don't think I'm the only man in this sanctuary today who has stumbled into inattentiveness on occasion. Over the years, I have failed a number of times to notice, for example, that Debbie had been to the hairstylist. On occasion, I have failed to notice that she had rearranged the furniture. Recently, I sat for several hours near a carpet in our living room, which I didn't realize was new. Apparently, about a month ago, I sat in my chair facing a Christmas tree which she had put up and decorated, and I didn't see it. Far more dangerous, of course, gentlemen. Any of you ever fallen into inattentiveness? Raise your hand, please. You'll have to be paying attention. There we go. A double hand over here. Far more dangerous, of course, is inattentiveness to Christ. When we fail to see the salvation God has already provided free of charge by sending his beloved Son first to the manger and then to the cross on our behalf. The prophet Isaiah is inviting the people of his day to be looking for the feet of those messengers who would be bringing the good news of victory back into the city of Jerusalem. He was inviting them to lift up their voices with their watchmen who would be seeing with their own eyes the return of the Lord to Zion, to the holy city. This morning, dear friends, the Holy Spirit would invite us to bring all of our sins of inattentiveness, all those times our good intentions have gone awry, all of our mistakes, every one of our failures, all of our faults, all of our bad habits, to bring them to the manger and then to the cross, and to see Christ clearly. See one more time that in Christ there is hope based on historical fact. Hope that will help you go the distance. See that in Christ there is a peace that is based on the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. It transcends all human circumstances. See that in Christ there is a joy. There is a joy that comes along with the forgiveness of your sins, a joy nobody can take away from you. See that in Christ you have been loved with an everlasting love. In response to all that Christ has done, we lift our voices up in these 12 days of Christmas. Oh no, Christmas isn't over with. After today, it's just starting. We sing together for joy. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and we rest in what we see clearly, the salvation of our God. Invitation number two on this day of Christmas is to listen well to Christ, to listen well. A few months ago, I was attending a Lutheran Women's Missionary League Board of Directors meeting in North Mankato, and before the meeting, I greeted and then I listened to a very pleasant and talkative woman who was telling me about her family and what was going on in her church. And I was simply doing what I assume all members of polite society should do. I was looking her in the eyes. I was nodding my head. I had a little smile on my face, and I was listening to her. And then quite abruptly, she stopped talking. She had this puzzled look on her face, and she said, "You're listening to me, aren't you?" Now, I don't think listening to somebody for 5 minutes qualifies me for sainthood, but it's a sad commentary on many of our relationships. In her world, it must have been a rare occurrence for somebody to actually listen. Far more dangerous, of course, is when we do not listen well to Christ, to his inspired and inerrant word. Dangerous it is. when growing numbers of people drift away from their local churches. Far more dangerous is when the sheep of his pasture rarely listen to the voice of their good shepherd. Far more dangerous is when the baptized and confirmed people of God slowly but surely fall into a despising and neglecting of the preaching and the teaching of God's word. The context of the epistle lesson for today is that many Christians in the first century were being tempted to revert back to Judaism. There were false teachers inviting them to obey the Old Testament laws of circumcision and ceremony instead of clinging to Christ alone. The whole point of the letter to the Hebrews is that Christ was and is a supreme treasure. Christ was and is superior to the Old Testament prophets, superior to the Old Testament covenants, superior to the Old Testament priesthood, superior to the Jerusalem sanctuary. He offered up a superior sacrifice on the cross. And we learn again in these 12 days of Christmas that we sinners in every generation will be doing ourselves a huge favor by being still regularly and paying attention to God who has spoken in these last days to us by his Son. In Hebrews chapter 1, we learn again that God's written word is inspired. We listen in as the Spirit of God points us to Christ. He is the heir and the owner and the ruler of all. Christ is the very creator of the universe, willing to become a fertilized egg, to be growing and be formed in his mother's womb, to be born as a mere baby. Christ is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his Father. To know Jesus is to know the glory of God. To this very day, Jesus sustains all things by the power of his word, whether we recognize it or not. In response to all of that, of who Christ is, and what he has done and is doing, we resolve one more time in these 12 days of Christmas to listen closely, to listen often, to listen well to the teaching of God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so invitation number one was to see clearly the salvation God has provided. Number two, invitation was to listen well to Christ and his word. And invitation number three is to believe. To believe Christ with all of your hearts and souls and minds today. The Apostle John would remind us that Christ was in the beginning with God, and he was God. All things were made through Christ. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In Christ, you and I have the forgiveness of sins today. And wherever there is forgiveness, there is hope based on historical fact. There is peace based on the birth, the suffering, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. There is joy knowing that Christ is sitting at the right hand of his Father, that there is an everlasting love that will carry us through every chapter of life, no matter what. I read this week that in 2009, 77% of Americans claimed to be Christians. And 10 years later, the percentage had dropped 12 points to 65%. Some of you may have heard that statistic last night. John writes this about first century people. Christ came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So much of the joy of Christmas for many of us has to do with children and grandchildren and even great-grandchildren coming home. It has to do with the giving and the receiving of gifts, the pleasant and the warm, fuzzy privileges of spending family time together. One of the privileges of being in my family growing up was being the youngest of four children. That makes me the baby. That means that my sisters accused me often of being the favorite and the spoiled one. Any babies here? Raise your hands. Babies. who have been accused of being spoiled. Russ, thanks for admitting it. One of the earliest and fondest memories I have is of falling asleep in the car on the way home late at night and being carried into the house by my strong and loving father. No doubt, more than once I pretended to be asleep, simply to know the pleasant and the warm, fuzzy feeling of being carried in to the house and upstairs and placed gently in bed. As the years went on, I did that with my children. These days I watch my sons-in-law and my sons do the same. The privilege of being carried along by your father is mentioned in our gospel lesson today. Of course, all of that is secondary to the privilege of being a baptized and believing member of a local church family. It is here in the church family that we have been born again. In the church family, many of us have been instructed and catechized in the one true faith. Here it is that many of us have cried and laughed our way together through the ups and downs of life. Here we know what it means to rest in our Heavenly Father's promises. Here we know what it is like to be helped up and carried along by fellow Christians and to look forward one day to falling asleep and waking up in the presence of Almighty God. The kingdom of God is like a medium-sized church in a medium-sized city full of folks who have an answer to Mr. Welder talking out of the side of his mouth, "What's your problem?" Today they have three answers. They have been inattentive to Christ. They haven't always listened well to Christ. Some days we have a hard time believing in Christ. But as often as these folks admit their problems, that often the grace and the mercy of God is able to sweep over their souls. Their sins are forgiven. Their debt is canceled. They believe on their good days. And when they think about it, they believe with all of their hearts, with all of their souls, with all of their minds, that God loves them dearly. And again, these people and their watchmen lift up their voices. Together, they sing for joy. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life eternal. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Please rise for the Kyrie, page 227. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer. Most merciful God, you gave your eternal word to become incarnate of the pure virgin. Grant your people grace to put away fleshly lusts, that they may be ready for your visitation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the Lord's mercy upon all of us and upon all people as they have need, that the Lord would uplift our hearts to hope and joy in the celebration of our Savior's birth, and that we would show forth this joy in a witness to the world, Lord, in your mercy, that we would show forth in our lives him who is the light of the world, Lord, in your mercy, that the Lord would grant to us wise and faithful leaders in this nation, that the Lord would guide the leaders of the nations to work for peace and justice, that we would be good and faithful citizens who seek to do what is right and good, Lord, in your mercy. That the Lord would grant healing, relief, and comfort to those who suffer, to the dying, and to those who grieve, Lord, in your mercy. That the Lord would humble our hearts to repentance and give us faith to receive with joy and thanksgiving all that you would give us, Lord, in your mercy. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray today. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.
Thank you. sins and sorrows.